And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, presented by Sling. I am here with Ari Wasserman. We are ready to watch these rankings come out. Ari is fielding queries about his interest in the UNLV job. If you listen to Tuesday morning's podcast, well, if you haven't, probably should go back and listen to the last 15 minutes. I already made the best case ever, I think, for a coaching hire.
And now, as a result of it, I'm going on the radio in Las Vegas and I'm going to get to embarrass myself again. Thanks a lot for that, man.
Well, it's terrestrial radio, so you really can't even say half the stuff we said yesterday.
I'm still going to say it. Come on. You know me. There's no filter here.
You're actually going to propose that they have a twin horse mascots named Hookers and Blow?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd pluralize it. I think the horse should be Hooker, named after Hendon Hooker, and Blow after Hootie and the Blowfish.
But Hendon Hooker doesn't have any connection to UNLV.
He's just so good, though.
Well, no, I think it should be Hookers, like crackers, because you'd name a horse crackers, wouldn't you? Like a little pony that you...
And actually, Blow is kind of a name that you would name your dog.
I wouldn't name my dog Blow.
I don't know, man.
These are my Labradoodles, Blow and Crank.
Blow and Crank, and my meth on the way.
Curb Street is talking about this on the show with Reese Davis.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the sound up,
so I have no idea.
I like to think that this show is a reprieve from the professionalism and the general talk that you're going to get on television. We're going to keep it real. We're going to talk about narcotics, and we're going to really get into things here. So,
exactly.
Yeah, but I'm super excited for the rankings tonight. I think I know exactly what they're going to be. Blow for a dog name? Are you nuts? It's like exactly. Hootie and the Blowfish. What,
this is your mind at work.
I don't know.
This podcast is such an amazing window into your mind.
I just thought that like if there was a mascot named Blow, that cocaine wouldn't be the first thing I would think of.
Well, yeah, maybe not cocaine, but it might be something else.
Okay, let's go. Come on, let's move on from this.
We got rankings. 25 NC State, 24 Mississippi State, 23 North Carolina. How the Tar Heels have fallen. 22 UCF, Notre Dame at 21.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Are we at the point of the season now where we're done with this bottom half and we can just start really focusing on the way that things are coming into play here?
Things matter. Remember, they're arbitrary. Like this is how many. This is how many top.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Notre Dame's down 6 spots to 21, which might be at least 4 spots too high for them. But next spots here are Texas 20, South Carolina 19, Tulane 18, UCLA 17, and Oregon 16.
All right, so the UCLA win, there you go. That's helping USC.
Welcome to the rankings, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
As Chris Callahan points out, Alabama has a top 25 win over Mississippi State.
Yeah, we're going to get to the Alabama talk. Only one route for Alabama to the playoff, and that's both conference champions losing this week, or both teams that are playing in conference championship games, USC and TCU losing. That's it.
Sean Masterson, do you think Michigan will move into number one? I would accept any arguments you have for Michigan to be number one. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to keep Georgia there. But I could accept Michigan.
The rankings are 100% going to be Georgia 1, Michigan 2.
All right, here we go. The Beavers up to number 15.
LSU Beavs
down to 14. And now Florida State, which beat LSU, is ahead of LSU. There you go.
It works out in the end.
So you think Tennessee will be ahead of Alabama?
I don't know.
They have the same record in Tennessee.
I think it should be. Here's the thing I was going to say.
Washington 12, Utah 11, by the way.
Number one, Georgia. Number two, Michigan. Number three, TCU, number four, USC, number five, Ohio State is probably what it's going to be, right?
Right.
And then if number six is Alabama, I think Tennessee fans blow a stack, because if Alabama is ahead of Tennessee, then that means, because like Alabama still technically, or maybe not Alabama, the number five or the number six team in the ranking still technically is alive.
Oh, yeah.
To move in to the spot. Now, I thought Dan Wetzel had a really good column this week about how you shouldn't be able to lose a playoff spot because you played in your national or in your conference championship game, unless you can play your way in. So like, I'm very interested too. Like, I think it would make rational sense to move USC lower than Ohio State potentially, so that they're saying, hey, you're playing your way in here.
Hey, which, so the guy who officially unfollowed us and called us dorks the other day, the critical thinker, who's a flat earther.
Never heard of him.
He's now in the comments. I blocked him.
Oh, he came back.
Yeah. I just blocked him.
Yeah, it's like all the people who say I'm unsubscribing to The Athletic over this crap and then never do.
Because they never subscribed in the first place?
Yeah.
All right. Number 10, Kansas State.
Kansas State, number 10.
Come on, guys. Don't kibitz. Let's see some teams.
Kibitz.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were going to say the word kibitz today. It's a nice word.
I speak a lot of Yiddish on this show.
Yeah, I knew a lot of things could come out of your mouth. I didn't know Yiddish was one of them tonight, but hey, here we are. That's what you get, everything on this show, you know?
You get beklempt. What are you going to say? All right, so K-State at number 10. Now, Clemson number 9. They dropped one spot, losing to South Carolina. So now, among teams that just lost to South Carolina and wear orange, where's the next one going to show up? Is it going to show up at 8?
What is your prediction for the top 6? What I said?
Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC, Ohio State. I think they will put Tennessee above Alabama.
That would be something. Rightfully so, right? Isn't Tennessee better in every reasonable metric?
They are 10-2
with a head-to-head
like win. Alabama, and beat Alabama, and I believe their wins are better, like, cuz they beat LSU. So what's Alabama's best win at this point?
I think Alabama's best case is that both of their losses came in the last play of the game.
Right, exactly.
And that's the funniest thing here now for Ohio State at Penn State number 8, smacking the top 8 team.
Well, this would be – so like there would be celebration in State College in 2 years at this, because this means Penn State's in, like in the 12-team playoff. Like they're not getting – because the cut line is probably going to fall at number 10, because the ACC champ might be ranked below – 12.
Georgia's best win is who again? Is it Tennessee still?
Tennessee.
Okay, so they still would probably have the right of way over Michigan for the top spot based on these rankings. But, you know, smacking the number 8 team is a really big feather in your cap for the committee at the end of the year. So that's something to keep track of for...
Yes, that's exactly right. And for Ohio State, they went on the road and beat Penn State. That's going to be pretty meaningful.
That'll be very interesting, too, at the end of the weekend if TCU ends up losing and USC wins, about TCU-Ohio State debate. Because that win would surpass beating Kansas State as a top 10 win, and then Kansas State would no longer be in those rankings. So it'd be very interesting to see how they parse through that.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this because we're sitting here at 7, and it's either going to be Tennessee or Alabama. And you're right. The Tennessee fans are going to blow their stacks if they're not there. If they're not above Alabama right now. Tennessee at number 7. All right, Vol Twitter, do your worst. Not to me. To what the do committee. People
think? Well, the Alabama favoritism is back again, I guess. I don't know. I think
most,
that's,
most favored nation status. That's what they get. They get most favored nation status.
I lost my train of thought here, but what's the case for what Alabama's number one point of reference is for being ahead of Tennessee?
We think Alabama would beat Tennessee if they played again on a neutral site. That's it. That's what, if they're being honest, that's why, because there's no other way to do it. There is no other way to justify it. They have the same record. They play in the same conference. They played each other in Tennessee one.
Yep. And speaking of which, I've got a column coming out as the rankings get released.
Now, Zach Ament with this point, Hendon Hooker is hurt. That's their built-in excuse. But I guarantee you, if Hendon Hooker had not gotten hurt against South Carolina, if he'd been healthy and played against Vanderbilt and was ready to keep playing in the postseason, they would still have Tennessee behind Alabama. Guarantee you.
Okay, so are we going from... Okay, we're going from the bottom now. What do they do? The grab ass?
We're
going
top.
6-5.
Oh, at the bottom. Okay, Alabama at 6. We knew we kind of knew that, right?
Yeah. Okay, Alabama 6, which means Ohio State is 5. What would you do if they put Ohio State put 4 and USC 5? It wouldn't matter, but like, do you think that that's a way to? I think that's a way
theoretical money from you.
No, I think that's the way to say USC has to win and you're in, which is the case anyway.
I don't think you have to say that.
Like, yeah, it doesn't matter where they're ranked. I'm just saying it would be, for the Dan Wetzel argument, that is the play-in way, right? Like, that's how you defeat that. So Ohio State's 5.
I suppose. Ohio State is 5. So we're going to have USC at 4. We're going to have USC at 4, yes. TCU is undefeated, so they're going to be 3. Okay.
I guess all we're waiting for to see if Michigan hops over Georgia at 1.
Yep.
And if they do, then the column I just wrote goes out the window. So
why are you pre-writing that?
Well, because I had to do this podcast here and I would like to spend at least 20 minutes with my wife before we go to bed on a weeknight. So we'll see what happens.
TCU at 3.
Here's the thing. I pre-wrote it because it won't make sense if it works that way anyway. So it's like, I would have never written it at all. If it works out that way. So,
well,
this is the only rational way to do it, I think, anyway. So we'll see how it is. Like Georgia has a better win than Michigan. And I know that Michigan's was more recent, but no, actually it doesn't. Michigan has the best win in the country. All right,
Michigan has the best win and they have the Penn State win. So Michigan is number 2. So Georgia's number 1. There's your rankings.
Yeah.
Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC, Ohio State, and playoff Rasputin.
Do you want to hear the column now that I'm going to get dragged over?
Do it. Let's go.
I'm going to get called a homer so bad, but I need you to defend me on this, okay?
Okay.
And I did my due diligence of being honest about Ohio State this week.
Did you mention ass juice?
I don't think I could put it in because I couldn't figure out the trademark symbol on the keyboard.
Oh, I could have told you that.
Maybe we can edit it in after the podcast is over. But all my point was that Georgia also lost when Ohio State lost, because there is a chance now that they might have to play Ohio State in the first round.
Or Alabama.
Or Alabama. And that, well, it'd be Ohio State now. Like, there's no way Alabama can jump Ohio State.
What if TCU and USC both lose?
That could happen. Yeah. But if that happens, then either way. Do you think that if both of those teams lose, that they would reorganize the rankings so there's no interconference first round matchup?
I don't know what they do. Because if I'm TCU and I'm 12-1, I'm kind of pissed that they're putting 10-2 Alabama in there over me.
Well, I also feel like too TCU probably gets in over. Like, that's the thing. Like, how realistic is Alabama's shot to get in the playoff? Because I think it's virtually zero.
It's pretty close to zero. But again, that's why I'm calling playoff Rasputin. Like, until I see it on Sunday, I'm not going
to. I feel like we're
it.
Just trying to talk Alabama into existence, but it's not actually a real storyline.
Not trying. They're sitting right there, Ari.
No, I know, but I don't think it's a real storyline.
Okay, TCU and USC lose. Does Alabama make the playoff?
Heart of
hearts.
That's the only way.
Okay. Then it's possible.
I think that it's possible. I don't think it's a guarantee.
Of course it's not a guarantee.
But I think that there's a chance that they would take Tennessee or being TCU over Bama, even though they would think that Alabama would beat them head to head, right?
I think there's a chance, but I don't know.
Who would you take? Alabama?
Who do you think would win the game if they played?
Alabama.
I think they'd take Alabama.
Which brings me back to the column, which is because Ohio State is ready to go in there at 4, that the number 1 seed is going to be penalized with a tougher path this year rather than if Ohio State beat Michigan. And I think Michigan fans are going to lose their minds because they're going to say, did you not watch the game on Saturday? Who do you think Georgia would rather play, Michigan or Ohio State?
Michigan.
Okay, so you're with me. You're going to
Georgia is supercharged Michigan. That's all Georgia is. They are a better version of Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you added top tier talent at every single position on the field. Absolutely.
That's what makes them better. They do many of the same things. They play in somewhat the same style, but one has much better players than the other.
Yeah. So anyway, if both of them lose, then I think it's a possibility that TCU falls to 4, Ohio State jumps up to 3 and plays Michigan in the first round, and then Georgia plays TCU, which then would make things work okay. Because I'm not convinced that I think Alabama would get in with 2 losses over a 1-loss team.
What if there was an Ohio State? I don't think this would happen, but it could happen. What if there's an Ohio State Michigan national title game?
I think that would be like the Final Four game between North Carolina and Duke, but a million times better because it's football.
Yeah. I'm getting very, very excited about all of
this. Well, I don't know if it'd be a national championship game because I think the odds of Ohio State beating Georgia would still be relatively low, but I bet you the spread of that game would be like three, right?
But of the teams that could be in the top four, who has the better chance of actually beating Georgia?
Ohio State.
Uh-huh. It's the only way it happens.
And is there a way that you can say that without saying that Ohio State's a better football team than Michigan? Can both of those be true at the same time?
No. Michigan is a better football team. Ohio State is a better collection of athletes. And if the better collection of athletes puts together the perfect day, it can beat anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Like the peak performance of the team with those players is higher than Michigan. So it's like a boom or bust scenario.
Yeah, Michigan is the better team and offers the more consistent, excellent performance.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
But I went into the BetMGM app.
Okay.
And I put in a two-team parlay today of USC and TCU money line, and it pays out 2-1, which means that it's 2-1 dog that both of them win on Saturday.
Right. Right.
Which means that makes in English that one of them's probably going to lose.
I wonder what the money line is on both of them losing, because I think that would probably be a higher, like more than 2-1. I think that might be 3-1 on both of them losing.
Well, oh yeah, because you would be taking two dogs to win straight up in a
right.
But you know, both of them losing is much, much worse. But like if you take a parlay of and all that you have to do to lose is lose one, which for our purposes is what makes the playoff debate on Sunday crazy. It's a 2-1 dog.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting weekend. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Joined now by our tech expert, Sam Kahn, repping the brand with the athletic hoodie on.
Dude, very where did nice. You get that hoodie, bro?
They sent it to me when I got the job.
I have
very nice.
One. I was like before you guys, so I didn't get one.
Oh, you just got more stock options. Congratulations.
Yeah, you're better off with that. I would have taken
Thank you for
that.
Telling everybody. I appreciate it. Yeah. I did. The sale was good. So welcome to the show, Sam. I'm going to disparage TCU just to fluster you.
Go for it. I was already ready for you to do that anyway.
No. I've got nothing to say. Win and there's no debate. Now, you got to.
There shouldn't be a debate anyway.
You got to hit.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's create the debate then, Andy. Can we do it?
We can. We will embrace debate.
TCU loses by 10 points in a hard-fought slugfest. Kansas State wins or scores a touchdown to close it out by 2 scores with 3 minutes left. What do you do with your top four there?
I think I have TCU at 4, regardless of who you have. And
so you'd put TCU over Ohio State?
Yeah.
Do you think TCU would beat Ohio State if they played?
No.
Then why?
I did this on purpose just to get you guys going. I'm just going to, where's the popcorn? All right, you guys have fun. I'm going to stand back over here.
I'll tell you what. After I watched Ohio State on Saturday, I didn't come away blown away by the Buckeyes in the way that I expected to. I came away more blown away by Michigan.
If TCU can shut down Bijan Robinson in a game, Ohio State's probably not running on them very much. Like it would be up to Ohio State to throw all over them, which maybe they hit some passes, but TCU's going to hit some big plays on them too. Like, that's why I asked you that. I'm not positive that Ohio State would beat TCU if they played. I don't know. Based on what I saw Saturday, I think that would be a pretty competitive game.
What do you think the spread would be? Like 13?
No, I don't think it would be now. 10? After what Michigan did to them, I think it'd be lower.
It's not perception, it's math.
Okay. Well, mathematically, it should be single digits.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that that's true.
I mean, TCU's better than anybody Ohio State played other than Michigan. And Ohio State wasn't perfect throughout the rest of its games either. Yeah. So,
no, there's no question that they could. To say they couldn't win at all is stupid.
Right. But they would be favored. Ohio State would definitely be favored, which is why
Ohio State would be favored over Michigan if they played again in a month.
Correct. Correct.
So if you want to play that game.
And they may be playing them again. So
part of the column here is that
but they have results. They do have results. Now they've ignored certain results like Texas or Tennessee and Alabama, but they have results.
Yeah, so the resumes right now as it stands for TCU and Ohio State. TCU 12-0, number one strength of record as a result of being undefeated. Two wins versus top 25 teams. One win over top 10 team. Strength of schedule 35. Ohio State 11-1. Win over top 25 teams is 2, which is identical. Win over top 10 teams, 1. It's identical, even though it's a few spots higher than Kansas State.
If TCU beats Kansas State, it will have 2 wins over Kansas State, and neither of them would be considered top 10 wins because I bet they drop Kansas State out of the top 10.
Actually, TCU and Ohio State have very similar resumes right now.
Steven Larkin on the chat, FPI has Ohio State as a 9-point favorite over TCU on a neutral field.
Yeah. What's delusional? What did I say that was delusional?
Nothing. I don't think you.
Yeah, you said 13. 13 is 9. Yeah.
You haven't been delusional since at least like the 2-minute mark of this show.
Yeah.
when you said you might name your dog Blow.
What is the first thing that you think of when you hear the word Blow, Sam?
The movie with Johnny
Don't
Depp.
Answer that. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I was going to tell you not to answer, but thank you.
That's exactly the first thing I thought when he said he named the dog Blow. I was like, he must be a really good fan of the movie.
It's about there cocaine. Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie. All right, Sam. So what does TCU have to do? They won everything. K-State obviously gave them trouble. It was during the period where it's funny because it feels like TCU has these phases this season. And that was during the period where they would fall behind and then come back. And they knocked out Adrian Martinez. Will Howard came in. They knocked him out too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be Will Howard and Deuce Vaughn, very dangerous. They've got a good pass rush. But what does TCU have to do to get win number 2 against K-State?
I think they just got to start a little bit quicker. That was the big issue with them in the midseason. And they did a good job of it against Iowa State last week. But I think the biggest key for them is how fresh they are and how healthy they are, which they haven't been really down the stretch. You know, they've been banged up at receiver, at running back. Even I think Max Duggan, even though he's played every snap that they needed him to, he's been banged up too. Just he's taken a lot of hits in the last few weeks. And I wonder how much it's worn on him. But I think Sonny Dykes has done a good job of managing them, trying to, you know, give them Sundays off and starting practice later, getting them more sleep and things like that. So I think he's done a really good job managing it so far, but they just got to start quick. And defensively, that's the big key. Like you said, with Howard, who's been terrific for K-State this year, and Deuce Vaughn, that duel, how much is Adrian Martinez going to play? I think Chris Kleiman said earlier today that Martinez is expecting to be available, so maybe he could have some packages. So they're going to have to be really disciplined with that backfield to keep them in check, because they were down 28-10 in the first half of that game when they first played before, you know, things flipped for TCU.
Do you think they're going to win, Sam?
I do. I think their letdown games that I thought they would have, which to me, I think Baylor was the one that I thought they were going in. I think Ari, you and I had this discussion before those games, and I think I felt more confident about them against Texas than I did against Baylor, because it's a rivalry game and all that. Now, since they survived all those and then won so emphatically last week against an Iowa State defense that is pretty good, I think their hiccups are done. I think this is a good, that's not to take anything away from Kansas State. They're a really good team and they're deserving to be where they are. But I think TCU has gotten over every hurdle they need to. So I do think they're going to win on Saturday.
That's what's interesting to me, Sam, because it did feel like they've turned a corner. And for those who haven't paid a ton of attention to the Big 12 this year, Iowa State had a terrible record, but an elite, they were a lot like Iowa. You know, they actually won a 10-7 game against Iowa, which is very representative of both teams. And TCU had their way with them. Like, nobody's done that to Iowa State this season.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was what I think surprised me the most, because I expected that to be a rock fight. I expected it to be a very close, very typical of all of other TCU's games in the last few weeks. But to see them do it that way, I think was an encouraging sign for them. And I think it makes me think that they're going to go in and take care of business. Now, granted, Kansas State is much more explosive offensively than Iowa State, but with the home crowd, they're going to be, you know, 20 minutes away from campus because the game is at AT&T Stadium, which is a stone's throw from Fort Worth. I think all that is going to really be a big boost for them going into this one.
The thing about K-State that's interesting to me, Sam, is they do strike me as a team that if they're rolling offensively, it causes major problems with your own rhythm on offense, because they can control the ball on the ground, but they can also score explosively on the ground. Like, they can turn this into a very strange game.
No, they absolutely can. Like I said, they had TCU down 18. And when they get rolling, they are hard to stop. And on the other end, they're really good pass rush. They can get after the quarterback pretty consistently. And that's one thing that a TCU, if there's a weakness that I think TCU has had, it's been allowing pressure, especially on the edge offensively. You know, there's been a lot of time when TCU played Texas Tech.
Tyree Wilson had a huge game. So are we talking about our guy Felix Anudike Uzomah?
Yeah.
Having a big game for K-State.
And then what was it against Texas? Gosh, Texas had 8 tackles for loss in the first quarter of that game against TCU. Yep. I mean, they couldn't get anything going offensively. So that's where K-State has a chance. I think if they're going to make a stamp and have a chance in this game, that's where you're going to do it. You're going to have to put a lot of pressure on TCU up front in the early going.
What about the concept of just the of beating the same team twice in the same year?
I mean, I think that's a feather in the cap, obviously, but it's hard to do.
I think anybody would
tell you that. Yeah, because, and I think Sonny Dykes talked about it today, everything that TCU did well in the first matchup, they're going to have an answer for, and they're going to, you know, and it was long, it was far enough ago, and there's enough tape in between that you can see how they've adjusted and you can see what tendencies they've thrown, because TCU's had to pull out a lot of stops to win games after that. So that is definitely an advantage, but it's also, I think it is an advantage for TCU as well, because now you know what Deuce Vaughn really looks like. You know what these quarterbacks really look like. You know exactly what they're going to throw at you if you're Joe Gillespie on TCU's end. So I think it goes both ways, but it's definitely, I feel like, Ari, to your point, I think it is harder to beat a team, especially a good team, twice in the same year.
How do you think your boy GP's handling all this?
GP's
trying to get the UNLV job over you, Ari.
That's right.
you're a tech expert. If you were UNLV, would you hire Gary Patterson or Ari to run your team?
I would hire Gary Patterson. No offense, Ari. I love
because he's better at coaching football.
That's right,
dude. If I were the head coach of UNLV, I would do no football decisions.
He would be in the slots all day.
I would be the CEO. I would hire people that I trusted to run the offense, and I would just be the CEO that ran the official visits.
That sounds like a good recruiting director.
No, I'm the coach. And also am on the field during games to make sure you don't punt in plus territory.
Are you going to have a slot machine on the sideline like they had before?
We're going to have slot machines in dorm rooms that pay out real money. NIL era, baby. Let's go.
Oh, see, that's funny. The best part is Ari would be the Tark of football. And I think that would just be brilliant.
Yeah. I just, you know, hey, come to UNLV. Every time you pull the lever, $20 comes out. You're an official sponsor of the MGM Grand.
Our producer Cam says Gary Patterson would not have dudes everywhere. Well, Gary Patterson would have dudes. He'd have dudes who were high school running backs who were going to be NFL defensive ends. Like that's how Gary Patterson, he just created dudes.
He would have fast dudes all over the place.
Yes.
Okay. So
fast dudes who may eat their way to being big dudes as well.
Yes.
I want to talk about something else because I got called delusional earlier in the show and I want to bring it back. The delusional
bothering you.
Yeah. Because he said I was delusional for saying that Ohio State would be a 2-point favorite over, or would be a favorite over Michigan after what happened on Saturday. And it legitimately would be like all the sharps and the bookmakers on Twitter that, you know, help set lines have put out their projections of what it would be. And the reason why for that is
FPI, Ohio State is still ranked ahead of Michigan right now.
And let me just explain the reason. The reason why is because big plays like the ones that Michigan hit on Ohio State are unpredictable.
Right.
And you can't count on them again. It doesn't mean that they don't deserve the credit for winning and they shouldn't be referred to as the king of the Big Ten, or that, you know, anybody's trying to take what they just did away from them. It was a tremendous victory and they're the kings of the Big Ten. But from a math standpoint, being able to bank on four touchdowns of further than 60 yards is not something that's mathematically likely to happen again.
Right.
And then you put yourself in a position where,
now I would argue this.
I sound dumb. I'm saying facts.
I would argue this about that particular game, because that's what a lot of the people have come back with. Ohio State's success rate was so much higher than Michigan. Michigan's success rate would have been much higher in the second half if Ohio State hadn't completely busted on two running plays. Like Michigan had really started to move the ball on the ground, and they had two huge runs that probably very easily could have been 9 6-yard runs in each drive.
Sure.
Which would have made the success rate stat for both teams look completely different. And
listen, any way you want to take stats, you can manipulate them to feel however you want them to feel. But this is
saying Michigan got lucky, and you can make that argument maybe about some of the passes in the first half. There was no luck involved in the second half. Michigan kicked Ohio State's ass in the second half.
Yeah, and there's nothing about luck. I'm not saying they were lucky.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that I would pick Ohio State to win. I'm not saying
that you are saying that. But that is the argument being thrown out about the success rate and everything else.
Andy, in our personal conversations, I told you I thought Michigan would win again based on what we saw. I'm just telling you how the lines makers would look at it and what it would be. Correct. So you can call me delusional or sound like a moron. That's the fact of what it would be.
No, they are going by the math. And for those who don't know, success rate is, it depends on the person charting it, but it's, you know, a 4-yard gain or more on offense. Sometimes it's by down, like how many yards did you gain on this down versus this down, and then like a 6-yard plus play or no 7-yard plus play in the passing game. It depends on the person how they structure it, but that's what they're saying is how often do you get a play that we would consider successful for this down and distance, and that's all that is. It is, like I already said, pure math. Now, if you watch the game, you kind of understand why it played out that way and why the math worked out that way. But if you're just looking at the math, then you're not going to look at it that way.
Yeah, I don't think Ari's delusional by saying that Ohio State would be a favorite. But my beef is, why does it matter? Because we just settled it on the field on Saturday.
No, it doesn't matter. But Andy's number one thing that he always says is, who do you think would win?
Exactly.
So that's the only data that looks forward. The committee looks backwards. So the only data that you have is based on FPI and betting line.
We'll be right back after these words.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Now let's hear what the committee had to say. Let's hear what Boo Corrigan told ESPN about where Ohio State is ranked and where Alabama is ranked.
Where Ohio State and Alabama would stack up. So their bodies of work are done. They're complete. Under what scenario would anything change with Ohio State and Alabama or anyone else that doesn't have another game to play moving up?
Yeah, Reese, you're trying to get me to project a little bit.
No, I'm not.
It was a tough decision.
That's the thing. I know you don't project. I know you don't project. But their bodies of work are done. So nothing could really change for those teams that have already played in terms of how they stack up against one another, correct?
Right. Correct. Okay. Correct. Now, there's four teams in front of them that are still playing games that we need to go through as we go through this weekend. And again, coming out of this week, as we looked at Ohio State and the wins that they have over Notre Dame and Penn State, you look at Alabama and their big wins are over Texas and Mississippi State. They got a couple games where they also played close, two close losses. But again, in the minds of the committee, we came back to Ohio State at 5 and Alabama at 6.
That is Boo Corrigan not telling us much.
Well, the thing about this is that in reality, the teams that are done, their resumes are finished. And most of the time, the teams that they've played's resumes are finished because most teams aren't playing in the conference championship games. But some of these teams have played teams that are playing this weekend. So I don't know if you can get more context with, you know, how teams that are trying to get in the back end look based on performances coming up this past week or this future weekend. Yeah. But like really the truth of the matter is that I don't know if there's any debate if the two teams in front at 3 and 4 win. The debates are really going to start based on, you know, if somebody loses, and we're on this podcast again talking about should Ohio State or TCU or should Bama. Like Bama, in my opinion, the only way they could even get in is if both TCU and USC lose. And even then, I don't think they would get in over TCU because they've got two losses. So like the resume thing, I think is kind of out the window. And now we're just kind of, you know, waiting on the results.
And as you pointed out, Ari, Vegas thinks there's a better than 50% chance one of those teams is going to lose.
I mean, they're both like 2.5-point favorites and they're both playing good teams on neutral sites, like hitting. I mean, I personally think both are going to win and it's not going to be an issue. But if we've learned anything from college football, especially this year, it's that, you know, anything could happen and maybe will happen. So Andy, you want to set up what you have to do if USC wins?
Oh yeah. All right. So by the way, Ari and I doing shows this weekend from the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook, thanks to our partners at BetMGM. We will be doing our Saturday recap show. From there, we'll be hanging out in the sports book all day watching games. So come by and say hi. We're going to be there. And then we're also going to do our show Sunday after they announce what the actual playoff field is going to be. And we'll break that all down from the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook. And I imagine we'll probably hang out and watch some NFL games. So if you're there, come by, say hi. We will also be at the Pac-12 championship game on Friday night since we'll be in Vegas anyway. And this is independent of any other bet we may have involving USC. This is the Pac-12 championship game bet. So there is a gourmet nacho place in Vegas called Nacho Daddy, and it's spectacular. The filet mignon nachos, I think they're called the Golden Knight nachos, are awesome. Margaritas that come in basically glass buckets. It's great. But they have something there called a scorpion shot. It is tequila with a scorpion in it. I have Utah. Ari has USC. If Utah wins, Ari takes a scorpion shot. If USC wins, I take the scorpion shot, of course.
And this is on video. Far worse for me because I grew up in an environment where as a kid, you feared these your entire life. Like when I moved to Arizona, my number one fear, and I remember it vividly, is, you know, every time you put on your shoes, make sure you shake them so there isn't a scorpion in there. Like, I think it's the most disgusting looking. Is it an insect? What is it? A bug?
It is. Is that, isn't a scorpion actually an arachnid? Am I wrong?
I don't know what that word means, but it's disgusting. So I don't want an arachnid in my mouth. Can you imagine losing a grand and having to take a bite out of a scorpion in the same night? It's like me losing the money isn't enough.
You're not losing a grand though. You have two more years to win the grand.
I'm on the cusp of it. I can taste it.
Yes, scorpions are arachnids. You don't know what an arachnid is, Ari?
I mean,
it's in the spider family, right?
Yeah,
it is. That's what arachnophobia. Spiders are most of the arachnids. Yes.
Yeah, arachnophobia.
Yeah. So,
but I didn't know arachnid. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, it's just I don't want it in my mouth. I'll tell you that. Well, like, Andy's gonna be a psychopath and chew on it.
I'm gonna eat it.
Oh no!
What do they put? Do they put tequila around it? It's a shot of tequila.
It's tequila. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pickled.
I saw after you guys first mentioned this, I went and looked it up. I looked up like the shot on the website and I saw a picture of it. And I was just like, no, I wouldn't want that. You guys are braver than I am because I wouldn't. Vaughn,
I might wash it down with a Cadillac margarita. I'm telling you right now, but I'd probably try to eat it. Now, I actually did live in a place during my childhood where we had scorpions too. So when we lived in the Keys for 4 years when I was in elementary school, and there were very, very much scorpions there. So,
Fear Factor, if you ever remember that show, like,
oh, yeah,
all the Fear Factor ones that involve snakes and insects, I would tap out and do whatever anything else is.
See, the snake ones would bother me a lot. The insect ones don't bother me.
If they put you in a coffin and then like dumped a bunch of cockroaches in there and made you like lay in there with millions of cockroaches all over you, I would die.
I would not be happy, but I could get through it. If they dump a bunch of non-venomous snakes on me, I might have a problem. If they venomous snakes, I'd have a bigger problem, but it's probably going to be non-venomous, and I'm still going to have a problem because it just would creep me out. Speaking of being creeped out, we got one more from our boy Boo. Boo should come with us. I think Boo's going to be in Vegas next week. Like, I know he's... Friday night, he's going to be probably holed up at the at that hotel in the Dallas area where they do all the ranking stuff with all the nice cookies. But
he'll be there on Monday, right?
Monday or Tuesday, I bet he's there. Like, he should come hang because Boo sounds like a dude you'd want to get a beer with. So let's hear Boo about weighing wins and losses. This is from ESPN.
Is there a feeling in this committee that big wins carry more weight than questionable losses?
I think at the end of the day, we talk a lot about wins. In this committee, and we talked about that earlier this year with TCU, and they kept winning games and they kept finding ways to win games. And, you know, that's a team that over the last 4 weeks is, I think, on defense, given up about 19 points a game. So obviously winning these games does matter. It's something that we look at, something we talk about more than anything else.
So if TCU loses, they're definitely getting in over Ohio State, right, Boo? Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going to answer that.
You're asking me to project, Andy. We don't project.
We project. That's why people are you've been listening for the last 8 years, Sam.
Vaughn, come on out to the sports book and meet us. Love to get a beer with you. Yeah, Andy, are we going to get like completely sloshed with all the people that come? Because I think that's kind of the way it's going to go for me. I don't know about you.
Well, I don't intend to have my body clock change. I intend to stay on Eastern time the entire time I'm there. So that means I'll be getting up and working out at like 6 a.m. So I'll have worked out. So in the time between us working and me going to bed at 9 p.m., by the way, Ari, you took yourself off camera.
I meant to mute myself because I coughed. Yeah. Sorry. That's the wrong button.
Okay. But so between the time that we're finished working and when I go to bed at 9 o'clock, I mean,
do you think you're going to go to bed at 9 o'clock every night?
The best laid plans, Ari. The best laid plans.
No.
No, of course
no
not.
No way.
I don't think anybody in the history of mankind has gone to bed at 9 o'clock in Las Vegas.
I have, but I'm not cool. So,
do you watch? Yeah. You're the reason why there's no good channels on in the hotel room. We're trying to stop.
I don't think I've watched a hotel room TV in.
I know they don't want you to watch TV. They don't want you to be in your room at 9 p.m. They want you to be at Nacho Daddy.
Well, I may be at Nacho Daddy past nine, and there may be some margaritas flowing. So
yeah, I think you got to be a certain kind of like. Listen, you're like the physical specimen. Like you got the sexy abs, and you're doing the Pelotons, and you're sweating, and you know got the six pack working. If you work out in Vegas, you're kind of a psychopath, in my opinion.
Well, I'm a psychopath because
like, yeah.
If I work out, I will guilt-free enjoy all of the other things Vegas has to offer. Not all the things.
Yeah, come.
Vegas has to offer.
I hope you go to bed at 9 p.m. so I can run the poker room at the Bellagio until 5 in the morning every night. That's where I'm going
to
be.
I have already talked to our producers about who's going to be on Wake Up Ari duty.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to be the one banging on your door.
Do you like it? I don't know if you know this about me, but like I used to play poker like four times a week in Ohio when I lived there at the casino.
Uh-huh.
And like I'm like, you know what? How hard it is now in my life to go grind a poker room for 6-7 hours. I don't think I've done it in a long. It's like my happy place.
Wait, Ari loves playing poker?
You didn't know that?
Shocking a revelation is finding out the Liver King was on steroids.
Yeah, no, it's my thing. So, and I'm gonna buy into a big game with your money. It's gonna be good.
That's fine. I thought you were taking me to dinner.
I'll take you to dinner, but we're expensing it.
Not with the bill I'm gonna run up.
I am gonna take you to dinner, Andy. But that's one thing I am looking forward to: one poker night this week. One of the nights, maybe Thursday.
And who knows who you're gonna meet in the poker room? There's gonna be a lot of college football glitterati hanging around Las Vegas this weekend.
Yeah.
You might be right up. You might get some intel. You might learn about a coaching search. Might get some details.
Yeah,
I figure out if Dion's going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Some athletic.
Ari, this is going to be like the Texas High School Coaches Convention on steroids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was overwhelming. This is going to be this is home court advantage for me.
I took him to the Texas High School Coaches Convention, which of course a lot of college coaches go to. And in the convention hall, I thought Ari was going to lose his mind.
I mean, I've never seen a human being know so many people at once.
It's like a bunch of dudes named Buck all calling each other coach. I mean, come on.
There's enough chewing tobacco in that place to put a cow down. I mean, like it was, but like Sam is like the king of, like we call him the Texpert. This guy is as plugged in this state as anybody's.
How many people called Sam coach? That's what I want to know.
Zero. They know who Sam is.
That's my favorite is the high school coaches who could actually, it's sort of like Groot. Like, you know, depending on how he says I am Groot, you can figure out what he means. There's a lot of high school coaches where if they just use the word coach, you can actually figure out what they mean. Coach.
I think I met every single coach staff member on every Texas Big 12 college football program because of Sam.
Well, he's
that was a lot of fun. Now I'm thinking about ditching the Big 12 championship game and going with y'all to Vegas.
Yeah, come on up to Vegas.
Do it. Do it. It's gonna be
Jalen fun. Hurts called his own father coach. That's peculiar.
His father was his coach.
I know, still peculiar. I'd call him daddy.
I no, you wouldn't. You have a very weird relationship with that word.
I do. I do have a weird relationship with the word. I call my dad pops and dad.
That's good. At least you don't call him dad.
I don't call my own father daddy.
And you're going to get a Welsh corgi and name it Blow. So. And that's probably a good place to end it.
Yeah.
Stars Matter's coming. Max and Sam, you can listen to them later in the week. Nicole, Power Hour, she'll be on, and then she'll be on the Pick Show with Ari and I. We got a loaded back end of the week, and then Ari and I land in Vegas, and all hell breaks loose. We'll talk to you later.